Karl Maria von Weber's opera The Magic Bullets, or Der Freischütz, is considered the first great German opera. A potent mixture of German folklore, romance, and melodrama, this opera is rarely performed in the U.S., but Queen City Opera offers a full production with a new edition of the score, led by artistic director Isaac Celia. Isaac, welcome back.
Hello, Anne. Thanks for having me here.
Tell us the story and the backstory of Der Freischütz. It's quite a tale.
So this, in its time, this was one of the most popular operas in the world. Premiered in 1821, Weber was related to Mozart, kind of like a second cousin, and this was one of the first operas to establish the German nationalist school of opera and to kind of combine supernatural elements with folklore. And it had an enormous influence on Wagner, on Berlioz. Beethoven himself saw this and thought it was just an incredible piece. And it's about a community where, in order for young men to marry their fiancés, they have to succeed in a shooting contest. And the opera's hero, Max, has really been down on his luck in his shooting. And the pressure from this kind of cracks him. And he goes to the Wolf's Glen, which is this dark place in the forest. And he makes a deal with the devil to get these bullets that never miss.
So the outcome is...
The ending is a little convoluted, but we found a way to make it compelling, especially in the modern day.
What drew you to this story, and why do you think it's not done so frequently anymore?
Well, musically, I've wanted to do this for a really long time. This was Gustav Mahler's favorite opera. I mean, the music is just unmatched. The plot is a little bit awkward. It takes a little bit of finessing to kind of make it work. And also, to tell you the truth, I think it's a little bit awkward in the U.S. in particular, just because there's so many guns on stage. You have to at least address that. You have to somehow take that into account. So our production is going to update the setting to the 1980s, and we're going to deal with that issue head on by partnering with some collaborative organizations to explore evidence-based approaches to preventing gun violence.
Well, this is not the first time you've been working with community organizations. You've done this for the past, I believe, three productions that you've done. What are the organizations you'll be working with?
So for this one, we have Ohio Ceasefire, Moms Demand Action, and Cincinnati Works, which has a very, very interesting program that identifies people who are at risk for falling into kind of gang violence lifestyles and offers them job training and things like that to kind of deter them from that kind of stuff. And Ohio Ceasefire and Moms Demand Action will just be presenting information on the epidemiological public health perspective on gun violence. Like, there were a lot of things I discovered in the course of our discussions. I just didn't know that, like, more than half of gun deaths in the U.S. are suicides. And I think that definitely plays a role in the opera, that Max feels this pressure about you are not a man unless you are good with guns, and just how that influences his actions and how that influences his mental health. So it's something that's, even though the opera is written in 1821, still current.
And when will these presentations be made?
So the presentation will be 1 hour before each performance. So the performances are May 31st at 8 p.m., and June 2nd at 3 p.m. So the presentation will just be 1 hour before that.
Is your cast involved in hearing some of this information as well? Or are you going to be having sort of awareness sessions as you get into rehearsals?
Oh, yeah. This has been playing out a lot in how we approach the work. I mean, this is a Singspiel format, which means that there's dialogue between the musical numbers. So we're doing the singing in German and the dialogue in English. So just in putting together new English dialogue, we had to tangle with these issues in terms of what story are we telling? So the cast has definitely been involved in the full perspective on how this piece relates to that narrative.
Well, there are a lot of exciting new aspects to this production. Let's begin with the new edition that you're using.
So even though the piece premiered in 1821, this is going to be the world premiere production of a new critical edition of the work just published by Schott, a publisher in Germany, that has taken away all of the kind of musty traditions and editorial interventions and mistakes that have accrued in the score and just returned to Weber's manuscript with really cutting-edge computer-assisted technology to figure out what the authentic version of the score is. And this will be the first time we're using it.
What have you discovered in terms of what you looked at originally and now what you're looking at?
So I discovered it was a lot of work because Weber in particular used a lot of shorthands in his writing. So many editors would just kind of realize what they thought Weber intended, and this score leaves intact all the ambiguities. So things like if there's a repeating motive, and Weber kind of developed the technique of using motives, that there are melodies and fragments that come back throughout the opera. The first time he would write it in full with all the articulations and dynamics that he wanted. Every time it would come back, it would just be blank. So does that mean you infer what he did the first time, or maybe he wanted it different each time? So it just takes, it takes an interpretation on every single bar.
And how about for the vocal lines?
The vocal lines as well. Like, sometimes he would leave them blanks, and editors would just kind of interpret it the way they thought it was supposed to be done. So we're really returning to the original. Also, with, there's some differences in the libretto, just in terms of the exact wording that Weber intended.
So that makes it tricky for the singers, doesn't it?
It does. It's a lot of work, but it's going to pay off. And it's good to know that we're adhering to Weber's intentions.
Is anyone from Schott going to be coming to hear this?
Not that I know of, but we've been in touch with them regularly. They're going to be tweeting about it. And they've requested that we write an article for their annual journal just about what it's like to use this edition.
So another wonderful, exciting feature is your new venue that actually has an orchestra pit. And I, for one, am very delighted about that, as you know.
I know you've told me many times that it's something we should be looking for, and I've spent years scouring Cincinnati looking for the right venue. And after looking at dozens of theaters, I think we've found one that really works. It has a hydraulic pit that goes up and down. It has substantial wing space, dressing rooms.
And where is it?
It's the Finneytown Performing Arts Center.
What else does it offer you?
Lots and lots of free parking for all the performers and audience members. It's about 581 seats, so it's a little bit bigger than we're used to performing in, but still pretty intimate.
And dressing rooms for the performers?
Dressing rooms for the cast, yeah. It's fully handicap accessible. So I think this will kind of bring us to the next level as a company.
A few words about the cast. You have a wonderful cast, starting with Simon Barrett.
We've worked with him a lot. He sang for us in Cenerentola. He sang for us in Iolanta. And he's coming back again for this one. A lot of the cast trained at CCM. We have Aaron Kesey as the role of Agata. We have M. Andrew Jones singing the role of Max. Alexandra Kasouf singing the role of Enchin. Christopher Brandon Morales singing the role of Kaspar. So a lot of CCM trained singers who are involved in this one.
And tell us about your director.
Director is Rebecca Herman, who's worked with us in the past. And she's based in Austin. She's both at Austin Lyric Opera and at LOLA, which stands for Local Opera, Local Artists. Her claim to fame was an all-female production of Bohème. She came and did Iolanta for us last season and really, really worked well with all the artists. So we're very happy to have her back.
And how big is the orchestra for this?
It's pretty substantial. The horns have a lot of heavy lifting in this one. Weber was kind of one of the first to really use the horn in its full spectrum of what it can do. So it's got four horns, three trombones, two trumpets, full strings. So it's going to be a really lively sound.
And I know that Wagner cited this also as sort of a pinnacle work. And I think what most audiences are familiar with is the overture.
The overture is amazing. Also, the Hunter's Chorus. I remember growing up and studying Suzuki cello. Hunter's Chorus was an excerpt we played. And then, of course, the Wolf's Glen scene. I'm very much looking forward to that.
Well, it's going to be an amazing production in a wonderful new venue. And Isaac, thank you so much for stopping by. Isaac Selye is Artistic Director of Queen City Opera. Der Freischütz, The Magic Bullets, is performed Friday, May 31st at 8 p.m. and Sunday, June the 2nd at 3 p.m. at Finneytown Arts Center. You can find out more by going to our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Ann Ehrenstein. Thank you.